This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Hopefully everybody had a wonderful holiday weekend. Happy New Year coming up. Knock on wood, we hope to get some ACC teams playing in bowl games. As we discussed in the first hour, Wes, three ACC teams have now had to opt out due to COVID protocol of bowl games. And we got two more, hopefully tomorrow, that we play. Louisville's in action against Air Force. NC State, UCLA hopefully begins the ACC bowl schedule. Hopefully.
Let's show you the schedule here real quick, get everybody caught up to date. We're going to grab a phone call here at the top as well. You mentioned Air Force, Louisville tomorrow, UCLA, NC State. And then you see business really picks up on Wednesday. Maryland, Virginia Tech, and Yankee Stadium. Pinstripe game, Clemson, Iowa State. That's in Orlando at the Cheez-It. And then Duke's Mayo right up the street from Pac's house. And Michigan State, Pittsburgh. And Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Thursday night. And then Friday, Wake Forest and Rutgers. Pac, give me a Air Force Louisville. We'll talk more about that, I'm guessing, tomorrow here. But that one's that one's a little tasty, isn't it? That might be contrasting styles.
Well, here's what I do know. Here's 100% what I do know. When you play any of the service academies, they are going to get after you for 60, right? Ask Missouri, right? They got a taste of what Army was all about the other night in the bowl game. When you play the service academies, that guy on the other side, he's there to give you an absolute battle for 60. So Louisville better have chin straps tight, because Air Force is going to play hard and they're going to run the football. So if you haven't figured out how to stop the run, that could be a long, long ball game. However, I will tell you, old Satterfield, our man Coach Sat, he's perfect in bowl games, right? Whether it be at App State, whether it be at Louisville. And the last time the ACC won a bowl game, West Durham, was Louisville. December 30th, 2019. You heard me. I'm not stuttering. December 30th, 2019. Today is December 27th, 2021. Louisville is the last ACC team to win a bowl game. Just saying. We got the do factor. We just ran some Rutgers numbers. The conference has the do factor, man. So it starts, hopefully, knock on wood, tomorrow with Louisville and Air Force, not to mention NC State, UCLA, which, like I told you, that game will be out of sight out there in San Diego.
All right. 844-SAY-ACCN. Stephen in Virginia joins us this morning. Stephen, happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. Shout out to Comcast down here in Salem, Virginia. Finally got you on the channel and been loving Packer and Durham.
Excellent. We're happy for Comcast too. What's up?
I was wondering, you know, a lot of these teams, and sorry to say the ACC teams are the ones that's dropping out with the COVID issues, but the other teams that have been practicing everything, why can't they get a different plane ticket and go play each other, the ones that are left standing?
Stephen, that is a great question. I know that all those teams, whether we're talking about SMU, you fill in blank, East Carolina, they have all been asked, hey, can you come out to El Paso to go play Washington State? Or, hey, can SMU and East Carolina get together? The answers have been no. They're just not. They just can't make that work in such a short period of time. And you got to figure, not only the travel issues are difficult, game planning. I mean, how do you do all that stuff? So those have been exhausted from what I've read. The combinations of the three bowls, actually we've missed four because the Hawaii Bowl also got postponed over the weekend too. So we've had four bowl games postponed, which is, that was crazy in its own self. But they have exhausted those opportunities to try to mix and match lost bowl games, if you will. And unfortunately, none of those are going to be able to work.
Stephen, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much. And thanks for watching in Salem on Comcast in Southwest Virginia. Great to have folks in Roanoke and Salem be able to take in the ACC network and certainly enjoy our show. Here's the other part, and you just mentioned it, Mark. In fact, I think East Carolina had to release a statement, as did SMU, about the potential of those two actually just going between New York and Annapolis and trying to figure out if they would meet in one place or the other. as it relates, or Boston and Annapolis as it related to the ball game there. The Memphis-Hawaii thing is probably the one that's the most bizarre. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, Memphis goes all that way to play, gets over there, and in less than 24 hours before kickoff, they wipe it off the board. That's the one, and again, you've been in the business side of this, and I know just enough to be dangerous about the business side of this. There's all sorts of guarantees in this. There's travel budgets. There's expenses. There's all sorts of things that go into play here. You wonder how all that falls when we get to bowl revenues, when we get to other things like that. Because for Memphis, that's an expensive trip now. That's a really expensive trip to go that far across the country and not play a game.
Yeah, but I'll say this, though, Wes. I say this all the time on radio. The easiest thing to do in life is to tell somebody else how to spend their money, right? I mean, hey, neighbor, let me tell you what you ought to do with your pool. Now, the guy they want to hear about is you're not writing a check. But I will say this for the folks at Memphis. If you're ever going to get stranded at a bowl game, I mean, you got 43 games, yes. I think we get to pick from. If there was ever bowl game to get stranded in, Memphis hit the jackpot. Now, I don't know who's writing a check. I don't know what that's going to cost, whoever's writing a check. But, man, if I was a Memphis football player, I'd go, hey, you know what? If I had to go somewhere not to play a game, I'd go to Hawaii. So you got to take the good with the bad. But your point on a serious note is spot on. You know, the payouts, if there's no bowl game, there's no revenue. So how does that work? Right. And when you start talking about, hey, we're taking 120 players and families and coaches and administrators and presidents, and it is a humongous number. So, if that comes out of the pocket, that's not only a killer for the school, but it's also for your respective league, where all of a sudden you're sitting there at the end of the day and all that money goes into a pool and you divvy it up, equal settings and all that kind of stuff. All of a sudden at the end of the day, you go, what? I thought we were going to be making X amount of millions. Instead, we're only making X amount of hundreds of thousands. Here's why. You got to play the game. So from the ACC perspective, no BC, no Virginia, no Miami, and hopefully, knock on wood, that's all we have that we lose out on. It does affect your bottom line. But Bill, it's an expensive proposition when you go to some of these road trips. But Memphis to Hawaii would be a big one. I got to tell you, I got to figure Washington State not playing Miami in El Paso. Getting from Pullman, Washington to El Paso, Texas is no piece of cake.
Right.
Last time I checked, I don't think American Airlines flies direct from Pullman, El Paso. So, like I said, this is an expensive proposition. That's why it was so important for Wake Forest last week, Wes, to find an opponent. When you're sitting there looking, if you're John Curry, and you're looking at, hey, we're having a great football season, our fans are excited, we've won 10 games, we've got a chance to win 11, we're going to the Gator Bowl, and they're going to write us a check for $5.3 million to play in the game, and all of a sudden the other guy says, can't make it. Man, you're sweating bullets. You have got to find somebody to play these games. So, like I said, when you've got a couple commas in the check, it's worthy of your time to find an opponent. So, yeah, this is a tough business deal. There's no question.
I don't think we're done with this. That's the other part. I just, I got that uneasy feeling, Pack, about the – and as much as I want these games to go off without a hitch, I just think there's a – I mean, the probability's probably escalating a little bit that we're going to lose maybe one more before we're done. I hope not, but man, just yesterday was just like a bomb being dropped on these games,
Well, since last time I saw you in person, you've traveled the country, it seems like three or four different times, and you've seen what airports look like. Now, granted, when you're traveling as a team and so forth, it's a little different. However, most of these teams, you had bowl practice, you stopped. You went home for the holidays. Kids traveled back home, and then they came back to campus or they rendezvoused at the bowl, whatever the situation may be. And this, this variant that's now flying around is so highly contagious. We've got, the COVID protocol in place. And if you test positive, even if, everybody's told you this latest strand is very mild compared to what we went through originally. But guess what? The guideline's the guideline. And if it's a negative or positive, however it plays out, it can wipe you out. And we've seen it. So I would guess, Wes, that you're probably right. that, knock on wood, we hope we get the games in, but I would not be surprised if we have more cancellations moving forward.
All right, let's take Ralph in Florida here before we get to the break, Pack. Ralph, good morning. Welcome to Packer in Durham.
Good morning. Well, I was kind of on the same line. My question was, you know, for these teams that are not able to go to their bowl games, as I'm sitting here ready to go watch Clemson play, how is that distribution going to be affected throughout the league, do you think?
It's a good question. I don't know that I've got a great answer. Do you know, Park?
Well, I think this is how it's going to work. I mean, if you had earmarked, you know, $5 million for this game, $2 million for this game, $3 million, you know, after you take the expenses out normally for a team, whatever's left goes into a pot at the end of the day, and you divvy it up. If all of a sudden, hey, you're earmarking, I'll just give you a number for a number, $10 million of the three bowl games that you missed, in all likelihood, that's $10 million you're not going to be divvying up. So, yeah, it's going to have a trickle-down effect by not playing these games. I mean, that's just the way it works. So, at the end of the day, if your conference is missing three members that you thought were going to a bowl, you got to figure your revenue is absolutely going to be affected in some shape, way, or form. Has to.
Yeah. I would say envision a pie with a lot of slices in it, and you're taking three slices out, essentially, right. And then you're going to pay the bowl revenues across with what's left of the pie. Obviously, yeah. The pie won't be as full.
Right. The last time I had a pizza, I wanted all of it, right? I mean, so if all of a sudden a guy delivers me a pizza and three slices are missing, number one, I'm ticked off, and number two, I'm still hungry. Of course, that's going to change in 22 with my eating habits, Wes, but nevertheless, that's how it works, yeah. Man. So you want to play the games. I mean, these bowls are writing a nice piece of check, a nice piece of coin for everybody to go play. Like I said, Wake's deal, I think it was $5.3 million is the payout to the Gator Bowl. You understood why there was a sense of urgency last week for 48 hours to find an opponent that would be willing to say, guess what, in 6 days I can put a plan together to play Wake and, oh, by the way, get paid. So that's a big deal. So when you miss BC and you miss Virginia and you miss Miami at the Tony the Tiger Bowl, you can have fun with the bowl stuff all you want, but guess what? They're writing big checks, and that will have a trickle-down effect on the ACC.
There you go. All right, on the other side, in case you missed it last week, Josh Pastor's basketball team's been battling some COVID as well. They've had some positive tests that have sidetracked them from not only a ball game last week, but a ball game on Wednesday, we've come to find out. But if you missed the interview, you'll hear from the coach of the Jackets next. Packer and Durham continues on ACC.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
We got a matinee. College hoop matchup for you coming up on Wednesday. Number two, Duke, road tripping down to Little John. Take on the Tigers. Our coverage starts at 2 Eastern right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. As you well know by now, it's one app, it's one tap. You are good to go. A little shot of Chester and Fuller. They had a big holiday weekend. Tons of treats. Bunch of love. Wes, while you were traveling and gallivanting around the country, Josh Pastner joined us last week. And, of course, they've already had some COVID issues. Game with Syracuse, obviously get nixed. Coming up, Syracuse has found another opponent, but Georgia Tech won't be there on Wednesday. But nevertheless, when we talked to Josh Pastner, we asked him about the short-term future, what it looks like with COVID and the world of college basketball. Here's what he had to say.
I just think everything over these next 3 or 4 weeks are going to be just hectic and kind of like maybe very similar to last year during that time period. But I do believe once we get to February, again, based on my non-medical opinion, you know, hopefully that wave will have gone through and somewhat get back to normal.
Coach, that's well said. I'm hoping for the same. And, you know, I know Pack has been able to talk with you quite a few times since you won the ACC title last year, but I haven't. So I'm just curious for you, Coach, how has your life changed since you were able to raise up that ACC championship trophy?
Well, I tell you what, you don't take that for granted. Do you know how hard it is to win the ACC championship? And I tell you what, it is something that you just don't take for granted. It will always be etched in stone. It's just an incredible accomplishment for Georgia Tech and for our student athletes and for the staff. And I mean, it's awesome. It really, really, really is awesome. And, you know, when you look back last year, obviously there was, we started the year 0-2, and then we ended the year winning the championship, and, you know, in the ups and downs throughout the course of the season. It just shows you, and I've said this so many times, in life, everything's deeper than it looks on the surface. At the surface, after we started the season 0-2, you're thinking the world's, the sky's falling, it's not going to happen, and at the end of the year, we win the ACC championship. That is why, you know, it's the old saying, and I, as simple and as elementary as this is, literally one day at a time, because you just don't know. You just don't know. And maybe if we won those first two games of the season, we don't make certain adjustments that need to be made. And that's why one of my favorite sayings is, it's always deeper than it actually is on the surface. And we were fortunate to get through and get that championship. And now we lost a lot from last year. And you both know this. You know, losing the player of the year, the ACC player of the year, and the ACC defensive player of the year, who was really good on offense. I mean, so you're losing those two guys. Plus, we lost Bubba Parham, who's a really good scorer for us. He's been out because of injury. So we've kind of had to just figure some things out as the year has gone on. We had a really good win the other night against Georgia State. And we're technically supposed to be playing Syracuse after the Christmas break. We'll see if that happens. But so I do like our group, and I do think the more we play, the better we'll get.
You know what, though? Let me talk about the guys you do have back. I mean, Jordan Usher goes off the other night. He's been crazy good. And, man, Michael DeVoe's been fabulous, Coach. I mean, goodness gracious. You know you've got at least a couple guys that on any given night can get super hot and just go, hey, let's go jump on Superman and let it rip.
Well, Mark, you know this. We played four really high-level games. I mean, we had Wisconsin, North Carolina, LSU, and USC. Basically four top 25 teams. Three of the four were top 10 in the net rankings. We fell short in each game, but I believe that will make us tougher when we get to ACC play, because you've really challenged yourself. You're able to see what you do well and you don't do well in those stretch of games. You could also say I'm a little crazy for scheduling like that too, but I think in the end, going to be good for us, and it really paid off for us last game. We had a win in overtime. We had to tough it out. We were missing a couple guys based on the COVID protocols, but we found a way to win in overtime. And even as you mentioned, Mark, DeVoe has been so good. He had an off game the other night, but a guy like Jordan Usher stepped up, 30 points on 14 shots. And Mark and Kelly, in basketball, as simple as this sounds, it is still a make and miss game, and you got to still put the ball in the basket more than the opponent. Yes, you got to play great defense. Yes, you got to do all those things. But when you just take off all the layers, you still got to have guys on your team that can be able to put the ball in the basket, because that still is the name of the game.
No doubt, Coach. Okay, let's talk about Jordan Usher. You talk about stepping up. There's stepping up, and then there's a 30 burger. I think that's a little bit of a different level. He's been playing really well as of late. How did you challenge him in the offseason, knowing you were losing Wright and Alvarado and all these guys? How did you challenge him to improve and really take that bigger role?
I'm really, really proud of Jordan. He's come a long way. He's gotten better. He's embraced the position that he's in right now, that he's had a step up, and we are counting on him to produce every time we play, you know, offensively and defensively. I knew he was going to have a great game prior to the game on Tuesday night. He had such great energy from practice and shoot around and the pregame warmups. He's an energy guy. He's our energy giver. And you both know I'm an energy guy and I love positive energy. And when his energy flowing, it flows throughout. It's contagious. And that energy resulted in him to have 30 points. To get 30 points in a college basketball game is not easy. I mean, I don't care who you play, when you do it, when you score 30 points, and he did it on 14 shots. So talk about efficient and effective. That's very impressive.
Coach, as far as your team is concerned moving forward, I mean, health is obviously priority one for everybody. And staying healthy. What's going to be the key for Georgia Tech as we turn the page into the 22 calendar year?
Well, I think there's going to be two things, Mark. One is, you know, we've got to, you know, obviously there's going to be a lot of, and this is my, you know, just an opinion. I think there's going to be rocky and choppy over the next month, not for Georgia Tech, but for every team in the ACC. I think it's just going to be rocky and choppy based on the situation with COVID. So I just think that's going to how it's going to be. And it could be, and you and Wes had said it last year so many times about, you know, just who can stay in some rhythm throughout all this, you know, and we'll just see if there's going to be pauses. So I think what team can kind of navigate through that. And then for us, for Georgia Tech, we've got to be able to score. And, you know, we've had some stretches where we've struggled to score, and that's going to be important for us that we continue to not to get out of those dry spells or those droughts where we're not scoring, because in this league you've got to be able to score. So I think that's going to be a big key for us. We will play good defense and we'll get after it defensively, but we've got to try to eliminate those droughts.
That was Josh Pastner last week on our Packer and Durham show. Kelly doing her thing. Wes, you're down there in the ATL. The Jackets have kind of given you some highs and some lows, like a lot of ACC teams so far. But they do have a couple guys that can flat out score. And I think that helps you in this day and age, being able to put the ball in the basket. We've seen some teams just have a tough time scoring. Georgia Tech, when they're on, they can be a nightmare for some folks.
Pack, I think you're right about that. I think the other element that you have with Pastner's team is this. I think the fact that they have two guys that can go get it every night is going to be really, really critical to where they go from a success standpoint. Now, that being said, they fall in the same category, in my opinion, that a bunch of other teams do. They don't have a non-conference marquee win right now that would push them into the NCAA tournament discussion. And where's their overall? Teetering around 500, right? So what's it going to be like when all this gets cranked up? I mean, the bigger picture that we talk about a lot, and we've already talked about it quite a bit, even in the run-up to conference play starting in earnest, is there's only a couple wins for the league that are able to hold up in terms of that committee room. So what's this league going to look like? I think that's a very interesting proposition now, where a lot of people were stuck on 4 and 5. I don't know. I'd be hard-pressed to go beyond 4 at this point, I think.
Joe Lunardi joined me on the radio show last Thursday, if I get my days right. And we cover the country on the radio show. And almost the entire 15-minute conversation involved the ACC, because it really has become an early storyline in terms of basketball. And that is, hey, we know Duke's really good, team that could get to the Final Four and win the national title. When we do accounting every week, Wes, and we kind of laugh and go, man, I don't know what to make of it. So is everybody else, including guys like Joe Lunardi when he starts doing bracketology. I know it's, you know, late December, but now we're starting to get into conference play. We certainly get into it this week, Tuesday and Wednesday, in particular with the men's side. But how many teams legitimately feel good about where they stand as far as the NCAA tournament? Duke's a given, right? North Carolina's got upside, but then you see the Kentucky game and it just kind of clouds your judgment. Wake Forest has been an incredible storyline despite the strength of schedule. Yeah, the record looks good, but it's all about beating quality teams, and that's going to be obviously something Wake needs to do moving forward. You and I both like Virginia Tech, right? We both think they're really, really good and talented. Yep. But, you know, they played a good schedule. Mm-hmm. They've had some tough losses. But I think that's a kind of team that, you know what, will find it and continue on that path. Clemson the other night blows out Virginia. I have no earthly idea how good the Hoos are. They can't score a lick. Miami's kind of quiet. We keep waiting on Florida State. They're young. Leonard told us that. But you know what they're all about? How good is Louisville? What is Louisville? They got to get Malik Williams back. I mean, you go through this whole league. Right. And again, I know we'll talk to Jeff Capel coming up in the Power Hour. But there are so many moving parts of this conference right now, this side of Durham, North Carolina, that will be the million-dollar question for this conference. You look down the league, hey, there's only one ranked team. One, and it's Duke. So in years past, and we can give you a little historical look at this, in years past you could say, well, hey, if you have a winning record in the ACC, you know what, you're good to go as far as the tournament goes. That was under the premise that there were 5 or 6 ranked top 25 clubs. We've got one. That's it. So Clemson's first up on Wednesday. We just gave the promo for the matinee. This league's got a lot of work to do, and we're being as transparent about this as possible. You and I both come from an era that, hey, we never had this conversation before regarding ACC hoops. Jay Billis was on with us last week, Wes, and I asked Jay about the same question. He said, well, the good news is the NCAA tournament's got to find 68 teams. And I stopped Jay. I said, Jay, in your lifetime, you played at Duke in the 80s. You've been a part of this league as far as what it's all about. How would you ever answer that question in your lifetime with ACC men's basketball by going, well, they got to find 68. I mean, in the past, it'd be like, well, we got seven, but in a perfect world, we'd love to have 10. We're not even having that conversation right now based on this season.
No, and I think the other part about it is this, the cannibalism we've talked about within the league sometimes, now that cannibalism doesn't get you anywhere, right? I mean, you know, we've always said, well, you know, going in, if the league is really competitive or if there's a glob, well, the glob might not have any resistance this year because the glob doesn't feature anybody that's done anything outside of what they're going to do in the league, right?
Right.
I mean, that's the tricky part of this whole operation. That's why some people, when you know the dark, forgotten time of college basketball, November, December, right? We always talk about it. Nobody really pays attention until the calendar turns to the new year and league play begins, and most of America doesn't really dive in until after the Super Bowl. But this year, the ACC, unfortunately, does not have this kind of worksheet of non-conference success. They're bits and pieces, but there's not this uniformity. There's not the 77-78% winning percentage against non-conference teams. There's not the 60-65% winning percentage against other Power 5 teams. That's the kind of stuff that existed for years, doesn't exist this year. That's going to be difficult to swallow. The thing that I'm having a hard time with, and I don't know if you talked about last week with Kelly and some others, I'm having a hard time finding a path of success that will allow the ACC to get more than four teams in. I mean, it'll have to come at someone else's consequence. But the reality of it is, outside of Duke, who you've mentioned, there's nobody else that's going to help build your momentum unless you just go on a tear through the league and the only time you play Duke, you beat them. Or you tear through the league and you go 17-3. 17-3 in the ACC would normally get you a top four seed, maybe even a top five seed for sure. This year, I don't know that, Mark. I don't know what – I mean, like you said, winning record in the league would get you in the tournament. I have no doubt that that's not the case this year. I mean, there's a winning record's not going to do it. You're going to have to be pronounced in your success.
Well, based on, again, what you have seen to date – it would seem to me that you, now jumping in the deep end of the pool in conference play in the ACC, you better have the mindset of, hey, we play 20 conference games. We better be 13-7, right? You better have one of those 12-8, 13-7, 14-6 runs because other than, again, I'm talking about everybody but Duke. Put Duke over here on the other side. They're all right. But they're going to be the standard in this league in which you're going to measure how good you really are. But you're going to have to go through stretches of 2 to 3 weeks where you go 5-1 in league play. But that, to me, that's going to be the separator to get you into the dance moving forward. And again, still feel good about Virginia Tech. I think North Carolina's got the talent. Wake Forest has gotten off to the great start, and Duke's really good. But the Miamis, the Clemsons, the Florida States, the Syracuses, the Louisvilles, Notre Dame's old team, somebody better get hot. Virginia, man, I watched the Hoos the other night. And Clemson beat them by, 17 in Charlottesville? And Virginia goes 11 minutes and doesn't make a field goal. It's hard to beat anybody when you can't make a shot. I'm just telling you, it's like if you don't have a good quarterback, I don't care how good your defense is, man. It's hard to win games. This league's storyline, when we get into this week, into 22, is you better go on major, major runs in league play. You have to. You can't go 10-10, 9-11, 11-9 and go, well, we ought to be in. We have a winning record in the league. I don't think it's going to work that way. Not this year.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, we're past the halfway point of the Monday show. Time for an early edition of Conference Cuts. Kind of like a bowl edition, Pack. Well, sort of. Look at the Cheez-It banner for Skalski. Oh, Brian Brown Got to have stuff in your neck. We'll get to all that and more coming up next. There's Bronco before the Cavaliers sack the bats. Back after this, Packer and Durham's Monday on ACCN.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. Hope everybody had a good holiday.
Wait a second. The producer of this show, lead singer, the driver of the Winnebago, is Andrew Brooks. And during the commercial break, because we're all family here, right? You always talk about we're all family, right?
Yeah.
And you were talking about your 2022 path to better living.
No. You weren't listening. No. You were not listening correctly. Meg, who really runs the show, not the lumberjack, said she was excited for my PAX Path to Wellness, PPW. And then all of a sudden, got into a conversation about, you know, going on 3-mile walks. I said, well, can you do that eating a whole pizza? And then Brooke said, well, Pack, do you know what 3 miles is? I said, I certainly do. And he goes, could you walk 3 miles? I said, I certainly could. And he said, could you do it in back-to-back days? And I said, well, why would you do that? So there you go.
Because it's your path to wellness.
That was the PAX path to wellness in 22. It's going to be my theme.
Yeah. We're going to need some artwork on PAX path to wellness.
Oh, by the way, I got artwork for Christmas. Emerson, our youngest.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Oh, no. No, and, did you really? Oh, gosh.
Emerson, who, as you well know, is an artiste, our youngest. In fact,
Very talented.
She's incredibly unbelievable. She did the bronze football, which is here. She's got the Nike shoe, which people always ask me about. Where'd you buy that? I said, I didn't buy it. Daughter made it. So she surprised me with a art rendering, which will remain nameless for a while. It is really awesome. It is awesome. She is really talented, man. Good stuff. So there you go. We're all family.
Yep, we are. In a lot of ways. All right, here we go. Conference cuts. We're going to start at Clemson.
Sure.
I think this is it for James Skalski. I think this is going to be his last game in the Cheez-It Bowl against Iowa State. And he was asked, why do you think this team has no opt-outs?
I think it's the culture of this team. I mean, you get a chance. We get to play football. You know, we've been in the playoffs and these bigger stages, but to us, I mean, we get to go play a game again. We get a chance to go represent Clemson, represent ourselves, show everyone, you know, what we can do with ourselves. And so I think we all just love playing ball. We love being together. So, I mean, it wasn't even opt out. Like, what? That's not a thing.
Unfortunately, it is a thing, but not for that guy. Not for that guy.
All right. I have a question. You have said that Christian Wilkins perhaps is the most decorated football player in Clemson history, correct?
In my opinion, yes.
Okay. Where would you qualify James Skalski in the pantheon of success with Clemson football?
He would be up there. I mean, of course, he's been there for 6 years, and every time I see him speak, I just envision him with a whistle around his neck and a baseball hat.
Well, that, yeah.
Right? I mean, he just looks and sounds like a coach. And I don't know what he's going to do with his life. He'll be successful because he's so passionate. But, man, he loves football. I mean, he absolutely loves. He'd go play if you cut his arm off. He'd be like, come on, man, just stitch it up. Let's go, right? Put some dirt on it. Let's go play.
Right.
And when he talks about, you know, the culture of Clemson football being no opt-outs. In this day and age, I mean, you can't go a day right now without seeing somebody opting out for the NFL or transfer portal or what's going on. And when he talks about there were no opt-outs on the Clemson football team for this bowl game, that tells you exactly what they're all about. But, man, Skalski's been great to watch. And if he goes into coaching, man, how good will he be, right? I mean, he personifies right. I mean, he just kind of personifies everything you want in a coach. He loves the game. He's intense. Attention to detail. Does all the work. The success he's had in terms of just ask him, hey, you win any rings? He'll put up both hands, and they're covered in all kinds of diamonds. He has been great for Clemson football. He's been great for college football because he is a guy that got his degrees and loves going to school, loves being there, wants to play. You wished everybody had his mindset.
There you go. Off to Raleigh, Devin Leary talks about what it means for him and this program to be playing for a 10th win in San Diego.
Yeah, I think it's a great stage. I think it's a great platform for us to really show what we can accomplish on a national stage. I mean, obviously we had multiple national televised games this year, but for it to be a Holiday Bowl and for us to have an opportunity to win the 10th win of the season, I think it's huge for our team, huge for our program, and we know it's at stake, especially leading into next year as well, you know, figuring out where we will put ourselves next year. And yeah, just being around everyone, being around what I'm hearing every day in our meeting rooms with Coach Dorn, Coach Beck, everyone's very eager to get this 10th win.
Devin Leary, Wes, is in for a big night tomorrow night. If NC State wins the game, if the biggest word in sports, NC State wins tomorrow night, yep. Devin Leary will have a huge game. That UCLA secondary is a bit leaky. And if you're NC State watching tape, that's the way to attack the Bruins. I expect Devin Leary to have a really, really big night in San Diego.
A bit leaky.
It's leaky.
That's a good way to put it.
NC State should be able to take advantage of UCLA secondary tomorrow night.
All right. Off to, well, kind of New York. Tyrell Smith was asked about playing his last game in a Hokie uniform and what that means to him.
These last few days, last few weeks, honestly, have been, like, it's been happy because we're coming to an end. I'm not happy, but, like, my time here has come to an end. I had a good time here in Blacksburg. But while we're here, we still have a lot of business to finish. We want to go and win this bowl game. It started with beating UVA. We want to continue that path until we beat Maryland up in New York.
Hey, Tyrell, did you grow up a Yankee fan at all? And how cool is it going to be for you, I guess, to kind of play near your hometown?
I think I'm a Yankees fan. I don't really pay attention to baseball too much, but being so close to New York, the Yankees were always a team I'd say I root for, but baseball wasn't really ever my thing.
Tell you what, Wes, if I had guns like that, I'd rip the sleeves off of every piece of clothing I got. But you know what?
I just think what happens when you get to PAX Path to Wellness.
Well, you know, I'm over here with Angel Hair Wing. When you got arms like Angel Hair, man, you kind of layer up, right? Just kind of layer up. But
yeah.
You know, you can't be kind of a baseball fan, and yeah, I think the Yankees are my team. You either are a Yankees fan
or you hate
the Yankees. It's an A or a B. Right. There is no in between. You know this. You're a Red Sox guy. You either love the Yankees or you hate them. They're okay. There is none of that. So I just hope we have the game. That's all I'm rooting for. Let's just hope we get the game in between Virginia Tech and Maryland.
Path to Wellness here in Cartersville this morning.
Yeah, I got one of those.
Brian Brown is next, Louisville's defensive coordinator. They draw the Troy Calhoun-led Air Force Falcons. Brown, first time he's seen an option team since coming to Louisville. And what is that? What do you have to do differently in those practices to help get ready?
Well, the challenge is you got to make sure that somebody has to dive, somebody has a quarterback, and somebody has a pitch. You know, that's the key. You know, and the one thing we've done a lot is we practice without a ball to make sure that guys, hey, if you got the dive, you got the dive. You got the quarterback, you got the quarterback. You got the pitch, you got the pitch. So those are the things we're trying to get accomplished in practice, and it's going, you know, going well so far. But, you know, just the physicality of it, these guys, they're going to come off the ball. You know, they're going to come off the ball as hard as anybody we played all year long because they know they're running the football. We know they're running football, but they don't care, right? So, you know, those guys are doing a great job this season, you know, with mauling people up front. And, and you know, just do a good job with different little you know, eye candy pieces that try to get one guy one step slower, one step too fast, and then that ball is out the gate 88. So we got to do a great job up front, whooping blocks and getting off blocks, as well as creating a new line of scrimmage. And if we can do those things and be great disciplinarians with our eyes, with our gap responsibility, and tackle really well, you know, it'll be a good day for the Cards.
Couple things here, Wes. Number one, always liked Air Force's uniforms. Number one, all right? That's one.
Yep.
Number two, the good news for Louisville is you've had time to prepare for the option, right? It's not one of those things that, hey,
right.
Like when Wake was going to play Army, and granted, Wake had 2 weeks to get ready for Army, and he still gave up 50-something. You better be disciplined, just like Coach was talking about. And number three, as I mentioned to you earlier, Scott Satterfield's never lost a bowl game. To me, there's always something right. about guys that have good records. You mentioned Shiano's numbers at Rutgers. He's always been good in bowls. Kyle Whittingham is always a guy at Utah that never seems to have issues in terms of postseason play. They're always ready to play.
Right.
But all that goes into play tomorrow. And as I mentioned, the last time the ACC won a bowl game, nearly 2 years ago, and it was Louisville, taking care of business, knocking off Mississippi right. State. Hopefully that will continue tomorrow. So certainly a good test, though, for Louisville, without question.
We'll touch on this again tomorrow in the show. To me, if Louisville's going to have success, you can't go burning series offensively.
That's right.
You can't just throw some three and outs up there on the board, because Troy Calhoun and those cats are going to hold the ball, okay? And they're going to run the ball.
Yep.
And here's the other thing, too, Coach Brown. I need my guy Roddy Jones to explain this probably better than I can. What you really need to do in that game is you need to take away. You can say one's got the dive, one's got the pitch, one's got the quarterback. You need to destroy one of those so that they don't even think about it. Because if you destroy one, you reduce them. And when you reduce them, that gives you a better chance to get off the field. So you pick out whichever one you think is best and go from there. But paying attention to it is a whole lot different than stopping it.
Well, my buddy,
I think it's an interesting game for Louisville.
It is. And my buddy Brady Hoker, I used to do radio shows with at SiriusXM, did a great job out at San Diego State. He played Air Force. He said, back there, really good. They're talented. And, you know, they're one of those kind of teams, if they don't have to throw the football, they won't, which means they're going to run it down your throat. So Louisville knows exactly what's coming their way tomorrow. Now they just got to go out and do something about it.
Coming up, best and worst of the weekend in the 9 o'clock hour, and Pittsburgh head basketball coach Jeff Capel. On the other side, though, we go diving into some of the other things that we have in the old bucket left over from the holiday weekend. Yep, because there was no Friday show. We got some top plays and more. Packer and Durham just rolling right along on a Monday. Great to have you with us on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Don't forget, ACC Network's your home of ACC Women's Hoops. And how about one Thursday afternoon, 4 o'clock? Courtney Banghart and North Carolina welcome Vaughn Reed and Syracuse to the Carmichael Arena. 4 Eastern time. It's the first of two, by the way, right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. There you go. Yeah, boy.
I'm ready, man. I'm just ready for the ACC to get through this week unscathed moving forward. That's kind of where I am. Let's get the bowl games in. Let's get our basketball games in. And then we'll take inventory and see what 22 has for us. But this is an important week to get games in, Wes. That's the key.
Yeah. By the way, the conversation Thursday in Tampa while we were getting ready for the Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl pack.
Rolls right off the tongue.
Between Florida and UCF. It did, absolutely. Pittsburgh quietly has returned everybody in their offensive line for 2022. Did you note that last week? Everybody.
We did note that, and found another quarterback, too, to add to the quarterback room. And we talked to Coach Pat. So he's excited about that, but he's also excited about getting down to Atlanta and beating his old boys at Michigan State, being the end of a really an amazing year for the Pitt Panthers.
Yep, we'll see how that goes for Pitt, but there are a few transactive natures about college football that are positive in terms of what we'll see on the field. But first, Jeff Capel coming up 9 o'clock hour, best and worst of the weekend ahead. However, on this holiday weekend, let us be the first to celebrate with top plays of the year so far.
First and 10, low snap. Howell's going to come up and gun. Looking long, looking for the end zone, trying to strike. A dive into the end zone, but he went through the end. That's a touchdown. What a catch. It's been a day filled with outstanding catches in college football. This is right there near the top.
Here's Shea with a wide open lane now. Gives it off to Omar. Left foot, crossbar. Oh, back of the net. The senior captain, Mohamed Omar, gets Notre Dame on the board first.
What an effort it is from Mo Omar, the senior, putting the team on his back. Just a cheeky little turn there with the right. Picks out that far side with the left. No chance for Trace Alphen. 1-0 Irish here early.
Pressure coming. Hartman to the end zone. And it is caught for the touchdown. And Wake Forest walks it off to get to 6-0 on the season.
A little stutter route and then just a go to the outside. That's a touchdown. That's a touchdown by A.T. Perry. His third touchdown of the day.
For Virginia, Turner has to go over easy. McKissick on the back set. Brent Bielema kept alive by Schaefer's shoe. Still Georgia Tech, the advantage, and oh my word, Bertolino is blocked.
Nice swanger up ahead to Olsen. Now Schau finds the ball. Her service, a good one. Oh, that!
What a goal by Beata Olsen, making her friends from Gainesville pay. What a goal.
Sends it to the overlap. Seal it. Hits Asensio. Flips it back. Reed is there. Reed's got two!
The Tigers have done it. The celebration begins. The first title since 1987. One of the blue blood programs is back atop of the heap of men's college soccer.
Comets, look out. Lammers in the circle. Oh. Deflects it. Goal. She got it. Plen Lammers for Syracuse.
Sweet job by Lammers and a nice lead pass in, Mike. This doesn't happen without a super lead and the turn of the stick in the proper direction. What a beautiful goal. Yes, it's good. Syracuse is on the board.
Armstrong goes deep. And is that caught? He caught it. Dontavian Wicks.
We've seen a lot of college football. I don't know that I've ever seen anything like this.
Wow! Florida State! National champions again!
After losing in penalty kicks, Florida State to Santa Clara and the last final, and this one coming down to the wire for them. Yuji Zhao, the senior, stepping up in this moment, stutter steps it, whips it in. A beautiful finish.
As Mark Whipple on the sidelines, the offensive coordinator for the Panthers, Pickett, a very good runner. Don't sleep on those legs. Oh, he faked the slide. Sauce time. Pickett, did that work? Touchdown, Pitt.
My goodness, did you see that? Oh, I can't wait to show you that replay. Kenny Pickett, we talked about it earlier in the broadcast. His legs are very under appreciated. But right here, he gets out in a hurry. And then what's he do? He hits him with the face guard and goes and hits him with the cha-cha. Makes these guys understand that he can not only throw it, but he can run that bad boy too.
There it is, ACC top plays. When we come back, best and worst of the weekend kicks off the 9 o'clock hour. It also features the Pitt basketball coach, Jeff Capel, at 9:30. Packer and Durham, right here on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network.
Packer and Durham.